Acts chapter number 5. We're going to talk about the shadow of Peter, tonight. Acts chapter 5, if you'll look at verse number 12. If you'll stand with me for the reading of the Bible tonight, Acts chapter 5, verse 12. By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Hey, it sounds like a lot of good things are happening right now in chapter number 5. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, and at the least the shadow of Peter, now think about this, at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, and thank you for the Bible. Lord, what a book. Thank you for leaving us, dear God, and sending us and then preserving us these precious words. And Lord, where would we be without the Bible? And thank you for, Lord, over the now 53-year history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Wednesday nights, gather, just open the book, just read the book, just study the book together. And Lord, I think eternity will have to measure just what that has done to solidify your people and strengthen them, sound doctrine, producing sound Christians. Lord, I pray that we'd be helped again tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much for standing. The shadow of Peter, what a fascinating portion of Scripture. Now, we need to take just a few minutes and do a brief explanation, not an in-depth study, on the apostolic gifts. You say, preacher, that would be wonderful. You know, wouldn't it be neat if I could just walk down the hallway of Riley Hospital up in Indianapolis and the shadow of me passing would bring these little children out of cancer and bring these little children, heal them of leukemia and all of this stuff. Preacher, what's going on in the book of Acts and what has changed since the time of the apostles? I want to take you back to Luke and so mark your place there. We'll be right back here in Acts 5, spend most of our time right there. But I want to show you something that I hope will kind of give you an understanding. The apostolic gifts, there are things in the Bible called apostolic gifts, and these were gifts that were given to the apostles for the time of the apostles. I always like to say, you know what, they were given to kind of jumpstart and supercharge the beginning of the church. When the time of the apostles and the apostles passed off, so did the apostolic gifts. Although I will say this, folks, I'm never going to limit what God chooses to do. God is a miracle-working God. And you know what? He's not held down by any of our rules or any of our boundaries, but he specifically gave these apostles these gifts for such a time as this. So you're in Luke chapter 6. Look at verse number 12. Luke 6, 12. And it came to pass in those days, verse number 12, it came to pass in those days. I must have told you the wrong place. There's a lot. I'd say Luke 6, 12. All right. Are we there? All right, just remember, chemo brain, I got an excuse for everything, all right. It came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And now notice this, and it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose how many? A lot of times people say, well, he had 12 disciples. Well, there's one point in time where we are given a number where he sent 70 out two by two. But it's interesting that in this portion of Scripture, yes, there were disciples, but there were 12 that he called apostles. Now, these are apostles, folks. These are, and the other ones couldn't claim apostleship. And they were given, now watch what it says there, whom also he named apostles, all right? Chapter 9, same book, Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Notice this, then he called his 12 disciples, okay? The 12 disciples are also known as what? Apostles. And gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to to heal the sick. Now in the same chapter, look at verse number 10. And the who? Apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done, and he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. So what did they tell him? All that they had done. What had they done? They had cast out devils. They had cured diseases. They had preached the kingdom of God. They had healed the sick. These are apostolic gifts. And so when you see an apostolic church, you know, I believe most apostolic churches are filled with very sincere people. I really mean that. And I know that they are longing for and wanting and sometimes proposing to have apostolic gifts, but they don't have apostolic gifts. And they're not apostles. If a man calls himself an apostle today, you know what? I'm not saying he's a bad person, but he's confused. Yes. And he doesn't understand the Bible. And so what we're seeing, I want to just give you that much. Okay, I just gave you a little bit. But that takes us back to Acts chapter number 5. And we understand that, of course, Peter was one of these apostles. And it says, verse number 12, and by the hands of the who? Apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And so these are the apostolic gifts. I wanted to give a little explanation of that so that you can kind of take a breath and relax and understand that that was for such a time as this. And those may not be available to us today. But by the way, God still heals. I mean, come on now. And he gives us instruction in James chapter 5 concerning if someone is sick in the church and if they ask for it, for the elders to anoint them with oil and pray. And you know, folks, you always got to let the scripture balance the scripture. Oh, so is that magic oil or does that make those elders healers? I've always said this. I want you to remember, any miracle that ever happens comes from God, okay? Don't ever take a miracle and say Peter done it or John done it or Jerry Ross done it or anybody else. All miracles, if they happen, come from God. So God still performs miracles. And my goodness, we could open it up to testimony time right now and fill the rest of the evening with people saying, preacher, I believe in my lifetime, I could tell you a story. I mean, not something I heard, but something we had a front row seat to. God perform a miracle. I'm glad I still serve a miracle performing God. And so again, I'm not going to limit God on anything. That's up to him. When you're God, you kind of get to make the rules, okay? And so he does as he will, and it's always good. Now, having said all that, it's fascinating to me. You know, when I say you read a story, it makes Baptists nervous. You know, you think, all right, we see that at verse 12, that there were many signs and wonders done by the apostles. And then we get down to verse 15. Or verse 16, let's jump down there. And there came also multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. How many? Everyone. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord. Yeah. And then you get to verse 15. It's just kind of like something you think you'd see on a charismatic TV station or something, you know, or something you would, you know, some tent revival off, you know, over here where they're handling snakes or something. But folks, this is King James Holy Bible. And I do believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? So, you know what? There's profit here. And I want to pull that profit out for us tonight. Preacher, what does that have to do with us? What does that have to do with me? Think about this. In so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Boy, I did a lot of praying over this and a little back study on it and meditating. And I think I got the mind of the Lord on it. Listen to this. I'm going to give you a few Bible truths I think is important. Number one, everywhere you go, you cast a shadow. Well, what can I profit from this, preacher? Well, Peter walked. When he walked, he cast a shadow. When me and you walk, we're casting a shadow. Now think about that. The Bible says Jesus was passing by. Did you see that? That was the biblical phrase there. That at the least, the shadow of Peter, next two words, passing by. Folks, listen to me. As we go about our workaday life and as we go about performing the duties that this life requires, you know what, folks, listen to me. We're passing by a lot of people. Yes. We're passing by a lot of opportunities, and everybody's casting a shadow. Now think about that. No man's an island. Come on. Peter was just passing by, and yet he affected, just by passing by, he affected those around him. Every one of us, listen to what I'm going to say, every one of us affect the rest of us. You can affect them one way, you can affect them the other. You know, I thought about the Peter passing by and his shadow caused healing and help. But I think, you know, could we actually be passing by and what's the opposite of healing? Hurt? What's the opposite of help? To bring discouragement? So every one of us affects the rest of us. There was a man I met down at the Sword of the Lord. I always like interacting with people that I don't know. And a guy stopped by my book table, and he was an older gentleman. And he mentioned the fact that he went to Tennessee Temple University back in the day. Now, I'm guessing that he was probably about 10 to 15 years older than me. So we're talking about him attending Tennessee Temple University back in the late 60s, early 70s. And I mean, Lee Robertson was about as in his prime then. So he mentioned that. I said, okay, all right. So you were a student in that window frame. And he said, yes. And I said, well, come on, tell me a couple of Lee Robertson stories. And he said this, and I thought it was so fascinating. He said, you know, I showed up to class early and I was studying. I sat in my car and I was studying because I had a test first hour and I just had a few minutes. And he said, I happened to look up and he said, Dr. Lee Robertson did not see me, but he's coming down the sidewalk and he, you know, double-breasted suit and you know, dressed for the day. And he said he paused and I could see that he was staring over to his right, down the sidewalk, into the grassy area in front of one of the buildings. And he said there had been sprinklers on, the sidewalk was wet, the grass was wet. Here he's got his shine shoes, he's got his three-piece suit on. And he said all of a sudden he stopped and stared and then he walked through the wet grass, and he said, I almost cringed. I thought, oh my goodness, you know, Lee Robertson, he's going to get his shoes wet. And he said, went over, picked up a little piece of paper, went back to the sidewalk, looked around. There wasn't a trash can, put it in his pocket, and just walked on. And here we are, folks, think about that. How many years later, and just Lee Robertson passing by, this man, all these years later, thought to himself, you know what? If that pastor, okay, can stop and pick up a piece of paper, then all of us can stop and pick up a piece of paper. There ought not to be any job. Come on, this is a good teaching moment. There ought not to be any job that we're too good to do. And I thought to myself, Lee Robertson that day just passed by. Had no idea anybody was watching. Had no idea that there was a man studying for the ministry, getting ready to go in and take a test. But he looked at that man of God and he said, God, help me to be that. Help me to just be a servant. Help me to just look for any need and just try to fill that need. What happened? He just passed by. Now, folks, we're all casting a shadow. Man alive. There's part of me that's kind of lives in fear when I think about this. How many people maybe were discouraged by something they saw and I didn't even know they were watching? I don't know about you, but if I'm going to cast a shadow, I want it to heal people. I want it to help people. I don't want it to discourage people. So every single one of us, think about that, are casting a shadow. Number two, as Christians, we need to be acutely aware of the people around us and our influence on them. As Christians, we need to be acutely aware of the people around us and our influence on them. You know, the story is told about JFK, John Kennedy, former president. You know how he was assassinated. But the day that he landed down in Dallas before that fateful trip, he was at the airport, and as they were coming through, he was with his wife, and they were leaving the plane, and they were heading into the terminal, and there was a group of people there to greet them. And he leaned over to his wife, and he said, honey, let's walk slowly through the crowd. Let's walk slowly through the crowd. And I read that story and I thought to myself, we need to slow down, don't we? Let's walk slowly through the crowd. You know, he had an amazing impact on people, individuals. To this day, people will tell personal JFK stories, little things that he took the time to do, little things that he took the time to say that people were forever touched by it. Now think about the opportunity for us. You know what he was saying when he was saying that to his wife? He was saying, honey, let's not rush through because this isn't a crowd. These are individual people. Now think about that. I think maybe he was saying, honey, see the people. Hey, tomorrow, what if we all just kind of, you know, tonight, we finish with the word of prayer, we go home, we wake up tomorrow and say, Lord, just help me see the people. Come on, watch this. Maybe I ought to walk a little slower through the crowd. Because as Christians, we need to be acutely aware of the people around us and the opportunity to influence, okay? Notice the one, by the way, let me give you young people some things that will help you on Sunday. Notice the young person around here that no one else has seen. Can you see the one that nobody else has seen? Can you see the one on the fringe? Can you see that new bus kid that's come for the first time, and about the time the bus pulls up, he's already questioning everything. Why did I get on this bus? And I don't know anybody here. And he follows the crowd in, and he doesn't know where to go, and kind of comes to the back door. And I've stood up here and seen him come to the back door and just look almost panic, like, I don't even know where to go. Is anybody seeing him? Think about that. Are you seeing them? Notice the one who no one else has seen. Stop and find out their name. You know what? I think one of the greatest questions you can ask anybody is this. You know what? Tell me your story. So what's your story? What's your story? You know, everybody's got a story. Now, you know, we call it a testimony because I don't know why it sounds so much more Christian. But basically, when we say we have a testimony, we have a story. Everybody, you know, all right, what was the path that led you? Come on, think about this. From where, the minute you were born, to where you are sitting tonight, everybody's got a path, everybody's got a story. And take the time. I'm going to tell you, folks, he that hath friends must. And, you know, we talk way too much about ourselves. Let me just help you on communication skills, okay? You want to impact people? Then, you know what? Every conversation doesn't need to be about you. Every conversation doesn't need to be about what you've done or what you're doing or what you're going to do. Matter of fact, if that's all you ever give people, they probably are trying to figure out a way to get away from you from the moment you start. Okay, are you listening to me? I mean, it's fine to talk about you. They ask questions about you, then answer the question. But I'm telling you, sometimes, I'm going to say this, man, I go to preachers' conferences, and it's almost discouraging talking to the average pastor. They just absolutely care nothing about anybody but themselves. And if you ask them how they're doing, you better have an hour. And they want to tell you everything they've ever done from the Lord from the time they were born till now, which, hey, I can sit there and play the part. I'll rejoice with them and I'll nod and I'll smile. But I thought to myself, I'll think to myself later as I go away from there, is that how they treat everybody? Because folks, listen to me. You know, if you want to impact people, be interested in them. See them. Hey, what's your story? You know, how did you get here? What's the path that brought you here? What's going on in your life? And so I watched Peter here, and he's aware that he's casting a shadow. He's acutely aware of the people around him, and he understands he has a chance to influence them. I wrote one of the books I wrote on lake lessons was written about a men's trip that we took up to Minnesota. And a group of us men went up there, and one of the things that I wrote about in chapter 12, I'll read it real quick to you. I don't usually read a lot outside of the Bible from the pulpit, but let me read it to you. Leaving wakes. Think about that. All right. One of the things you have to be aware of as you operate a boat is that everywhere you go, you are leaving a wake. How many of you know what a wake is? How many of you have no idea what a wake is? All right, I'll explain it to you. A wake is the waves a boat creates as it displaces the water. So you ever see a boat go through the water, it's nosing through the water and it's sending waves on either side of the boat. Okay, now these waves go in both directions, both to the right and left of your boat, and will affect anything and anyone in close proximity. Many boaters underestimate the potential damage and danger of their wake can produce. The standard rule, often called the 100-foot rule, requires boaters to operate at slow, no wake speed. You can drive a boat so slow that it's producing no wakes or very little. Within 100 feet of the shorelines, docks, launch ramps, swimmers, skiers. If a skier's a down skier, you don't want to bless him with your wake. your wakes anything that any boat that's anchored, moored, drifting. If you mindlessly operate your boat with no thought of the, now think about it. If you mindlessly operate your boat with no thought of the effect of your wake, you could be damaging other people's equipment and possibly endangering a life. And every time you go out on a lake, you will find somebody that has no comprehension or no care that they are producing wakes. Okay, a boat's wake can also have an adverse effect on the environment. Wakes can be a major cause of erosion along the shorelines. Your wake travels at the same speed of your boat. And remember that your wake is not made up of one wave, but a series of waves that hits in rapid succession. If a larger boat speeds by a small stationary boat, it can create a wake that could potentially cause injury to the occupants by tossing them around in their boat or even tossing an unsuspecting fisherman overboard. And you're just, by the time that happens, you're already 100 yards down and you don't even realize what you just did, is this making sense? You know, folks, we're casting shadows. Hey, as we go through life, we're leaving wakes. Okay, think about that. We all leave wakes as we go about life, especially when we are in such a hurry that we forget how our actions, words, and attitudes affect those around us. What if we all lived with the 100-foot rule in our mind? Maybe someone that distance away cannot hear what we say, but they can sure see what we do. You know, what if we just thought as we're going through life, you know, 100-foot on either side of me, probably ought to pay attention because I'm leaving some kind of impression. I'm leaving some kind of wake. Somebody's going to hear something I said. I hope it's pleasing to the Lord. We need to be especially aware of what our wakes, come on, adults, listen, are doing to the smaller boats around us. You know, a larger boat can have a big effect on a smaller boat. Children are impressionable. And what might not cause you or me to stumble could throw a young person for a loop. I won't read the rest of it, but are you getting the point here? Folks, you know what? Peter was casting a shadow. And by the way, the shadow he cast was bringing good into people's lives. Man, I want it to be the same for me. Let me give you number three. Hurting people will always be drawn to someone whose shadow brings healing. Hurting people will always be drawn to someone whose shadow brings healing. Peter didn't have to go find these people. They came and found him. You know why? Because he had a reputation. Because word was out. I'm going to tell you, Peter can, and those apostles are healing the sick. And you know, even if you can't get close enough to touch them, they got such power that even if the shadow touches you, you got a good chance of being healed here. Now think about that. Brother Howes used to say this, a man who preaches to hurting people will always have an audience. I found that to be true. You know, I understand that can't be every sermon. It shouldn't be. We need to preach the whole counsel of God. But you know what? Life's hard. Life's tough. And the devil's beating down God's people on a regular basis. And I think there's a whole lot of our King James Holy Bible designed just to kind of heal people and help people. And we need that. We need that in our pulpits. We need that in our heart. We need to have those verses ready for an opportunity that God might give us. In Jude, verse 22, come on, you know it. And of some have compassion, making a what? Making a difference. You know, not only will hurting people be drawn to someone whose shadow brings healing, but church, let me remind you this. Hurting people will be drawn to a church whose shadow brings healing. All right, think about that. If we're willing to heal and we're willing to help people, there's a lot of hurting people out there. And so, you know what? I understand, again, we're here to preach the gospel. We want to see them get saved. But you know, folks, life's hard. And a lot of people are struggling. And a lot of people are dealing with the consequences of sin. And you know, the devil will use you and abuse you, and then he'll lose you, throw you away like a piece of trash. And they don't mean anything to him, but they ought to mean something to us. And so, you know what? Let's look for those opportunities. I'd like to be the church that has the reputation of being a place where hurting people can get help. I want to be the church. Come on, help me, church. That has a reputation where hurting people can get help, okay? So let's look around. Say, preacher, what's the greatest thing I can do here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Look right up here. Just love people. Just love them. I mean, they need that more than they need anything. And, well, you know what? I don't know who these folks are. Well, go find out.
Yes.
Go find out, okay? Go sit down beside him. Just say, hey, I've never seen you here before, and if you have, I didn't notice, and I apologize, and what's your name? So what's your story? Okay, and introduce yourself. Spend a little time getting to know them and say, is there anything I can pray with you about? Maybe you got something on your heart. Is there anything I can pray with you about? Folks, what's that really cost? Think about it. What's that really cost? And so hurting people will always be drawn to someone who brings healing. Number four, there are two types of people who were in need of help in this account. Let's look specifically into this account and say, well, okay, the shadow of Peter, it brought help, it brought healing to what two types of people? Well, the Bible says, first of all, that that it affected the physically afflicted. The physically afflicted. And then it also mentions the spiritually oppressed. And I won't go into this because it would take a long time, but back in March, I think March 23rd, if you look back on our website or something, I preached a message entitled The Bible in Sickness. And you know, folks, when somebody is suffering physically, they're fighting a physical affliction. Go back and listen to that message if you haven't heard it in a while. But Jesus, if you follow him around, there's no denying the fact that he spent a lot of time just helping sick people. Okay? And you know what? There's folks that, you know, I mean, they've just been blessed with an almost supernatural constitution. They hardly ever get a cold, hardly ever get sick. And I always say this, if that's you, be thankful for it. Be thankful for it. But that's really not the norm. And I know there's varying degrees of what people go through. But you know what? If somebody is sick, you know what? Jesus wouldn't have passed them by. Jesus wouldn't have ignored them. Jesus would have said, what can I do to help you? And so when people are going through things in our church, just kind of stay on high alert. You know, some things we go through, some folks in our church family live, honestly, with things that probably they're just going to have to live with the rest of their life unless God does a miraculous healing. And you know what? It's not that I can live it for you, but it wouldn't hurt every once in a while for me to come alongside you and say, how you doing? Or is there something I can pray for you about? And so, you know, when people are physically afflicted, I found out this too. A lot of times when people are going through physical affliction, God uses that a lot of times to open their heart and make them more receptive to the gospel. And so, hey, Christians, let's not blow it when we got the opportunity. How many times could I never win a man to Christ in his home, but when he lands in the hospital, walk in the hospital room and win that man to Christ? Okay, so think about that. God allows that, uses that sometimes. Talk about spiritually oppressed. You know, one of the other groups that he helped here, verse 16, it says at the end of the verse, and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. So he said there were some that were sick folks, okay, verse 16, and them that were vexed with unclean spirits. Oh, I know that you've noticed. But folks, I believe that there is more demonic activity right now than there has been in the history of the United States of America. And there was increased demonic activity prior to Christ's first coming and during the time he was going to be here. And I think that the devil, hey, if we can't understand the signs of the time, I think the devil's figured it out. And I think more and more there is demonic activity and people are being more and more spiritually oppressed right now. I won't take the time, but you go back to Mark chapter 5. Remember the man that was there in the tombs, you know, and Jesus showed up. By the way, read some of the things that was going on there in that story. He dwelled among the tombs. Think about this, an unhealthy infatuation with death. I mean, that's where we're at. People think it's a normal thing to get bones and skulls and all this stuff all over their tattoos. I mean, there's this unhealthy infatuation with death. Okay, superhuman strength. Talk to law enforcement. All right. Unrest. He wouldn't sleep at night. Self-mutilation. Self-destructive behavior. It almost like I'm describing the culture right now. And yet sometimes we look at somebody that is so caught up in all of that, and the devil has such a stronghold in their life. And if we're not careful, we can just write them off. Jesus never wrote them off. And you know what? Jesus sought him out. And that man wanted help. If you read that story, he ran to Jesus and fell down and worshiped him. And then the unclean spirits began to beg for mercy. And I like this. Anytime there's an encounter in the Bible between Jesus and unclean spirits, the unclean spirits just surrender. You know, it's just they're just begging for mercy. And just, you know what? Send us to the swine. You know, don't banish us down to the pit. Send us to the swine. And by the way, the minute that Jesus allowed them to go into the swine, what did they do? They ran him over a cliff and killed him. Because the devil's not only just a liar, he's a murderer. And if it weren't for the grace of God, then the devil would destroy every single person. He wants them to die and he wants them to burn in hell forever. And the grace of God harnesses some of that, prevents some of that. But folks, listen, so we're gonna get up tomorrow and we're going to understand that, hey, we're casting a shadow. We're going to get up tomorrow and we're going to pay attention to who we're passing by. Maybe, come on, walk slowly through the crowd, see the people, see the individual, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Who do I need to stop and say a word to? By the way, as we're going along, maybe we ought to see that maniac. Maybe instead of walking on the other side of the street, you know what, maybe we ought to walk towards him. Maybe we ought to spend a little bit of time just saying, is there anything I can pray with you about? But we're independent, fundamental, separatist, Baptist. I get that. For separation, not for isolation. For separation, not for isolation. We're going to go all the world and preach the gospel. You know, if Jesus got accused of being a friend of publicans and sinners, that probably wouldn't be a bad thing for us to get accused of at some point. I'm not talking about going out and drinking with them, partying with them. You know what I'm talking. Jesus didn't do any of that. But how in the world are we going to reach sinners if we never talk to one? And so think about it. And they just, you know, these are the types of people, folks, that's out there today. And Jesus, and Peter was aware of it. And I want to just close by saying this. One last closing thought. I think there's one other group of people in this story that deserves a little recognition. Look at verse 15. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches. Now, all right, they're being carried there. Apparently, their afflictions are such that they can't get there themselves. They're laying them on beds. Who are they? Who are they? Listen, they're the nameless because we don't know their names. I'll say that. They're the nameless. And you know what? They don't care if their name got in there or not. They just wanted to help somebody. Preacher, I don't even know how to help somebody. Can you get them here? Can you get them to where they can get some help? Now, preacher, I don't even know where to start with this person. Start by sitting in the pew with them. Start by going by on a Sunday morning picking them up. The nameless, the selfless. You don't think these folks didn't have things to do? They had things to do. You know what? But they decided to care about somebody, couldn't help themselves. We've got to get folks to Jesus. We've got to invite people to church. We've got to be willing to go by and pick them up. We've got to be able to afterwards say, let me take you out and get you a bite to eat. We've got to be able to, willing to invest in other people. They're the nameless, they're the selfless, and I think they're the heroes of this story. And their names aren't even mentioned. No, Peter's the hero. Well, Peter's shadow don't do any good if there's nobody there. Okay, and I can preach the gospel every Sunday, but if nobody's bringing lost people, I don't know what good it's going to do. Thank you for church for having a heart for this. Amen. Thank you, bus workers. I don't stop and say it enough. Thank you, bus workers. She don't want me to say this, but thank you, Sister Darcy Mowry. You know, now people don't know this, but she's actually older than me, and I want to go on record to tell you that. Even though we were in the same graduating class, she is older than me. And she comes with me last Sunday and she says, Pastor, you know, I may have to step out of the bus ministry. Now, you know, I'm 64. I think she's somewhere around 68, 9, something like that. She's held back in school several years. And this is terrible. I started out being so nice and then I turned into Jerry Ross. It happens every time. 65? 64, 65, she's right in there somewhere. I think I might have to finally, you know. And so Nathaniel's getting married. He helps on the bus. I think his wife's going to be on the same route. Are y'all going to be on the same route after you're married? Okay. So she's looking at that thinking, good, young girl. Hey, what do you think? What do you think? Okay, folks, listen, I think we got to stop thinking of reasons why we can't, start thinking of reasons why we can. I told her, I said, you should have been off a long time ago. You know, she's still down there. Imagine riding the bus there, back, going down, teaching second grade Sunday school class. All right, young people, are you listening to me? Okay, time for some of you to start stepping up. Okay, you can do a little more. Okay, you got a generation that's aging out. We need some stepping in. Come on. Yeah, I'm talking to you, the one you don't think I'm talking to. That's who I'm talking to. Hey, you know what? They're the heroes. They're the heroes. Bus drivers, you're the heroes. Bus workers, puddle jumpers, you're the heroes. Come on. Nursing home preachers, you're the heroes. Let's get out there and get them. Let's go out there and get them. You know, some of them are so devastated and so beat down, their lives are so destroyed, that if somebody don't help get them to Jesus, they're not going to get there. They're just not. And so what a story. What a story. Everywhere I go tomorrow, I'm going to cast a shadow. Boy, I want it to help people. I want it to heal people. I don't want it to hurt people. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this incredible little verse, wonderful story. And Lord, we understand and have, I think, a good understanding of some differences from then and now when it comes to some of these apostolic gifts. But Lord, help us not to miss the biblical principle. We all have an opportunity to make a difference in somebody's life. So we walk through life, and as we cast shadows, I pray, Lord, that you would help us. Lord Jesus, just help us, dear God, to make sure that we're representing you well. Lord, I hope that we're attracting hurting people, not creating hurt people. Lord, help us to have a soul sensitivity the rest of this week and open our eyes. Help us to see what Jesus would have seen. We pray these things in his name.